it's going to be one of those shows. Number 37 in a row.
In a dimension, 37 is a sacred number.
37 in a row.
What about the penises?
Yeah, 37 dicks in a row. Yeah.
You get it? You get it?
You get it. Flea Market Finds, episode 37. And we're listening to Elastic Bond, La Curandera. Listening to La Curandera by Elastic Bond. My name is DJ Juan Data. We have Eva Vargas and Pedro in the controls as usual. And this is Flea Market Finds episode 37. You can leave that a little bit in the background. That doesn't bother us. It's a really nice song.
It bothers me. No,
this is it bothers me a little bit.
Right? Come on. Yeah. This is a beautiful song. It's kind of like the mandatory cumbia song that every band has to have right nowadays. You know, every band, regardless of the whatever gender they play, they have to have one cumbia song right now. Elastic Bond has this cumbia song. The rest of the album is more like funky, soul, retro. Mm-hmm. It's really good. And I know I played them already like two podcasts ago. We also began the show playing Elastic Bone, but we didn't get to talk about them. And I really wanted to say a word or two about them.
Say a word or two.
Yeah. Let's talk about the mandatory.
Especially since Eva is taking pictures and not paying attention to it, I'm going to talk to Pedro.
She doesn't.
And because we don't have a guest, because he chickened out, basically.
That's your theory.
Our guest didn't want to come to Pedro's house. He was afraid of the neighborhood.
But we live in the hood.
Yeah. Like, what I wanted to say is that one of the highlights of this year, one of my happy moments of 2013 was the Nacional Records signed a local band. And this band is like local band. By local band, I mean, I don't mean local from here, from Oakland, but
not crazy, local.
Not local either.
Okay.
I mean, this Elastic Bone is based in Miami, Florida. But I mean, they, usually Nacional Records, which it's the biggest like Latin alternative record label in the United States.
Where are they based, actually?
In L.A., the label.
Okay.
But usually, historically, they've always been like, you know, mostly releasing foreign acts that they've been already successful in their markets, and they bring them here, you know.
Like Amigos Invisibles.
Yeah, like any bands from Mexico, from Argentina, from Venezuela, whatever, that they were already successful back in their country, and they bring them here.
You know, I'm burping like chicharrones.
Yeah.
Tacos.
And Elastic Bone is like, it's actually like a risk, you know, because it's a new band, it's their first album, and they don't have any big following back home, you know.
Yeah.
Nobody knows them here
right.
in a mainstream way, you know. So it makes me really happy that a label like Nacional is taking a risk, and like that is a big move for them to like go and sign a local band like that nobody knows, and they're really good. They're quality wise, and
yeah.
I usually always make fun of Miami music because it's so super cheesy and tacky, and like everything that is, you know,
everybody
that has a tag Miami is usually about ass and you know, and about like Pitbull and all that shit.
Yeah.
But this is like super classy
Eva,
music
you
from Miami.
Me a weird look right now. What's going on?
I don't know.
So anyway, this is our 37th show, and we're really getting close to a 1 year anniversary of Flea Market.
I can't believe it.
It's crazy.
We started in September.
No,
we're midway through August.
I can't believe it. It's really hard to believe that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is it hard to believe? It is hard to believe. Like in retrospect.
How hard is it, Pedro?
Really, really hard to believe. No, because
if
you ask me, I would say like, you know, we've been doing this for maybe 6 months or something, you know, not a year. It's a little different than that.
It makes you feel older.
Like, will I be able to stand these two guys?
For a whole year. I know you've been resisting arrest the last, you know, few times. You've been like, I have dinner to do. It was like, okay.
But it's cool. It's been a good ride, and I'm happy with the results of what we have accomplished so far.
Yeah.
I mean, we can't say like, oh, we have a massive success of a podcast, but we have plenty of listeners worldwide. Today I was checking our statistics, and we have like over like 2,000 downloads stuff like that.
To Ghana again.
We still have people in Ghana listening. Like
Ghana,
even this month, we have like.
I wish he sent us or she sent us
a message or them.
Well, this last month only there were like 5 downloads from Ghana.
Yeah,
just this month.
Ghana, we love you.
And if you list like you can sort the all the episodes by which country has more downloads. We have more downloads from Ghana than from Mexico.
Well, if you're listening to us in Ghana, send us a message. Yeah. You can find us on Facebook and Twitter and
si les da la gana,
Tumblr.
Que nos manden algo,
yeah.
No?
We also have a lot of
listeners. If you feel like it,
Si les da la gana.
We also have more listeners in Australia and in Germany and in the UK than in Mexico.
But our heart is in Ghana.
Our heart is in Ghana,
But
nos da mucha gana.
No, but what I wanted to point out about this is like when we started doing the show, it was mostly about like, you know, the immigrant experience of us compared.
We're
all immigrants, and all our guests we brought so far, they were all immigrants from different parts of the world.
That's true.
We're all bicultural. Yeah,
yes.
And we all have the music in common.
Bisexual people too.
What I mean is that we all connect through the music. We're all immigrants from different parts of the world.
Yeah.
We all connect through the music. But then when we imagine who is going to listen to the show, we always think that our listeners are going to be also like other immigrants living here in the United States. We never picture like people in other countries interested in.
I never picture it. I'm just kidding.
At least for me, like when I started doing the show, when we envisioned it, it was like, okay, we're going to talk about the immigrant experience and the music and stuff and how that connect. And I thought like, okay, our target market, that's going to be other immigrants living in the United States who can connect with our experiences.
But people in
Australia, they're probably interested in it from a completely different angle, you know. Or maybe there are also immigrants in Australia.
Right.
You never know. Maybe there are Latinos immigrants living in Australia who said, hey, I have the same experience here
or
in Sydney.
Or Latino immigrants
in Ghana.
The fact
that we are mostly speaking in English, even though we claim we're going to do this in Spanglish, and we have never done that.
No, but we all have accents.
There's always been a few words.
An accent is not Spanish.
There have always been a few words sneaking in.
But what I wanted to say is, I think this is also for those that are interested in the Latin culture.
Yeah.
Not necessarily, immigrants.
Yeah, but what I wanted to say is, we're not targeting Latinos as listeners particular.
Yo le voy a quien se deje.
Quien se deje.
No, but we're not. I mean, first of all, because we're speaking English with a little accent, each one of us, so a little different and tasty. Delicious accents. But at the same time, it's we're global. We are global.
And part of my idea was also to keep it as wide in the variety and heterogeneous as possible.
I like how do you say that?
Heterogeneous.
Heterogeneous. I would say the same way too.
Yeah.
Because I wouldn't even try.
That's why I always every time I suggested a guest, I wanted to bring guests from different countries, and we have a guest
heterogeneous.
We have guests from Cuba, from Brazil, from Salvador, from Guatemala, from Peru, and we
Mexico.
Have and today we were going to have a guest from Argentina who didn't show up, but
who had a dinner date or something.
But the idea is trying to compare all these different immigrant experiences and find the common point, the lingua franca, that's the music that what connects us all.
I totally agree with that, because in the end that is the lingua franca, the music itself, and I think most people probably who listen to us are in search of that, of the music. I mean, I don't think they really care much about me.
And about my penis.
Your penis or my penis or Eva's penis.
My penis.
Yeah. But it is more about the music.
Your consumption of penises.
It's about the music that is universal and everybody listens to it. And, we're searching for
the problem is that we
things.
Get drunk and then we end up talking about penises. And this show in particular today this show is brought to you by, what was this wine?
Barefoot.
Barefoot Pinot Grigio.
Pinot Grigio.
Pinot Grigio.
Pinot. Anyway, that's really...
And we had some beers before coming here.
We had some tacos before.
It was Taco Tuesday.
Chicharrones, I know. Taco Tuesday.
Yeah, I had some beers from Yolanda.
Yeah.
And I had red wine before coming. So,
he actually drank more than we did.
I've been mixing, so beware.
People must have the impression that we're always drinking, and we always just drink when we record this thing.
We're a bunch of drunks.
Well, first of all, we do a better show if we're drinking. That's the thing. If we're too sober, we're
Well, my experience so far is that it's nice to offer our guests a drink, because even though we're not, we're not broadcasting in a radio station, for some reason people get intimidated by the microphone. You just sit them there.
Okay, we had a little technical, how do you say it? Inconvenience? No.
Glitch.
A technical glitch in the system.
But
we're back and we're still drunk and we're still talking about alcohol.
I was trying to put this thing back on the bottle, and then the thing goes... I was like, what?
Something.
Oh, so it was you.
I think it was me.
Something happened in the system.
Yeah.
Anyway, I don't even remember.
Yeah. Are you ready for another song of the day?
Yeah, because we're bubbling.
Yeah, let's do that.
And let's refill our glasses with a little bit of wine.
Cool. Let's play...
Que no como, cuatro que no bebo agua.
Ae, ae, macaco, mata el toro.
Y tan pa' abajo loma, busca un más viaje agua.
Ae, ae, macaco, mata el toro.
Salió macaco, macaquito, mi abuca mató.
Ae, ae, macaco.
macaquito, macaquito, busco uno más bonito, a tres días que no como, cuatro que no bebo agua.
Ae, ae, macaco, mata el toro.
Y tan pa' abajo loma, busca un más viaje agua.
Ae, ae, macaco, mata el toro.
Mario macaco, macaquito, miña busca más toro.
Ae, ae, macaco, mata el toro.
That was Nova Lima doing Macaco from their last album, Carimba. But this is the remix done by Jeremy Soule. I don't know if you guys know Jeremy Soule. He's a DJ and yeah. He's a host of KCRW. He has a show in KCRW. Definitely. And yeah. He has a party, Afro Funke, in L.A.
Santa Barbara.
Yeah, exactly. No, in L.A. In Santa Monica.
Oh, Santa Monica, sorry.
Yeah.
It's all the same.
Santa something. Santa.
Una de las Santas.
Yeah. When you get to California, it's all Santa.
When you say
Santa.
LA, you're basically saying
Santa.
Anaheim, Santa Barbara. Yeah.
So basically,
Santa Los Angeles. Santa Angeles.
Nova Lima from Peru, they released an album, Carimba, last year on ESL Records. This year, they did the remix version of that same album.
Did you say ESL Records?
ESL.
That's a good name.
That was a Thievery Corporation's label.
Yeah.
But they kind of like folded. They don't release any music anymore except for their own Thievery Corporation. They don't have any other artists signed to them.
So it's only Thievery, that's them.
Yeah. So this new...
Not even Natalia? No,
that's why Natalia Clavier came out on Nacional.
She's a national artist.
Yeah.
That's right.
That album, it was supposed to be on ESL.
Oh,
but I think she was orphaned.
And
Nacional picked her up.
I love that.
What happened with these guys is pretty much a similar thing. They had the remix album that was supposed to come out on ESL and it ended up coming out on Wonderwheel, which is Nicodemus' label.
Hmm.
And it's a new release and it has plenty of remixes by a lot of different people and it's really good. And it's called Carimba Diabolic Remixes.
Sounds delicious to me.
Mm-hmm. And these
finders keepers.
Yeah. Off the air we were talking about Locura and I was talking about that I just saw them outside lands. It was this weekend.
Which we're supposed to do a little of a review thing.
Yeah.
Well, you know, we haven't talked about that. Let's
get
to that.
Well, there's not a lot to talk about, unfortunately, because
in what sense?
In the sense that
this Latino music,
the Latino representation
in general,
in general, I think my microphone might be too loud.
So you're drinking, that's why.
Yeah, I'll drink, okay. So I talk louder.
Yeah.
yeah. you're saying?
For the last 2 years, I don't know. People out in Ghana and in Australia probably don't even know what we're talking about. But Outside Lands is a local music festival they do every summer here in San Francisco since 2008. They celebrated in Golden Gate Park and the Polo Field. And it's a massive festival. It brings like 60,000 people every day, and it goes for 3 days. And since the beginning in 2008 until 2010, it was always a very diverse selection of music. They always have like a lot of acts representing different genres and different cultures, and they have a lot of Latin music, but they also have a lot of like hip hop and a lot of like war music, international acts and stuff like that.
But not this year.
For the last 2 years, mm-hmm. it's been mostly like gringo, white, Anglo-Saxon, you know, indie rock, and that's it.
I'm always surprised about that. That's not, I don't get that pull about Outside as much as other things. First of all, because like San Francisco, they always kind of do that hippie thing, you know, because they're like, oh, San Francisco, we should have like, you know, fish or whatever, you know.
Yeah, but and, not Outside.
They have the Grateful. They had the Grateful Dead, right? Like a couple years ago.
At the Outside Lands? Mm-hmm. No, not that I'm aware of.
They're not even. No. I mean, well, Jerry's dead.
No.
They
sorry,
had Rush. That was a hippie thing.
But yeah, but you feel
that
like
it was a really hippie act. Like a couple years ago.
But they always
ago.
Bring that the flavor, you know, like San Francisco, so it should be kind of hippie. So the, you know, most of the acts are don't add that to me. I don't think they find that global in that sense of global music or.
But stuff. If you go back to like the origins of Outside Lands, the first year they have Manu Chao playing on the main stage.
Right, and they had Café Tacuba at one point.
And they have Café Tacuba on one of the smaller stage. Mm-hmm. But Manu Chao was in the main stage at prime time.
Nice.
So that was like, and the following year, 2009, they have Rodrigo and Gabriela on the main stage at prime time.
Cool.
That doesn't happen anymore. Now they have like very little, like they have one Latino act only.
And on the side.
And like on the side in the small stage at like very early when nobody's there yet, at noon. And that happened last year with Bomba Estéreo. It happened this year with Locura, which is a local band that, you know, they're cool, they're okay, whatever, but they're not like, they don't bring Latino audience. They don't they don't have that traction, you know, because local people, they're not going to pay $300 to go see them when they can see them every other weekend here playing here.
In any club,
So the question is like, why is are the organizers of Outside Lands turning their backs on the Latino audience and say like, hey,
because they're just hippies.
Yeah, we don't want to invest on this target market. And
I think it's important to bring to the table the economic shift in San Francisco.
In the past two years,
I think this is obviously a reflection of that. In the past 2 years, San Francisco has become a super expensive city that only the jappies, all those little kids that are working
in the high tech
companies can afford. And so when you think about, you know, people paying $3,000 for a little small apartment, and that's kicking out. Yeah, seriously, people are paying ridiculous amounts of money to pay rent, and so that's kicking out of the city.
Yeah,
all the immigrants, all the families, all this,
but,
and so that's also part of it.
I see your argument, but my counter argument is Outside Lands doesn't only appeal to people that live in the city. It appeals to people from all over the Bay Area and beyond. There's people traveling from Sacramento. I met people from LA that they came all the way from LA to go to Outside Lands. So it's not just a San Francisco city thing. People from all over the Bay Area come to the city for this event.
I would like to see like who is willing to pay the money and who is willing to make the trip. I mean, you know, if you have a Latin act, obviously, some Latinos are going to do the trip.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. That's like the point. That's exactly my point. Like, if you bring somebody like Manu Chao, the Latinos are going to show up. They're not going to do that for a local band that they can see here every weekend.
Or they don't even know who they are, you know.
Yeah. So that's
that could be one thing. But I think, you know, it's totally like a reflection of how San Francisco is shifting. It's completely changing. You can see it. Like, you go to the Mission. The Mission is not what it used to be.
The Mission is the marina.
You know? It's completely different. And I think it's also showing a little bit of that. I mean, it used to be a very multicultural. I mean, I'm not saying it's not anymore, but it's not the same thing.
Yeah.
But still, like, even if you're talking about like you know, a hegemony, how do you say that? Hegemony or of Anglo-Saxon yeah. white people
yeah.
dominating the culture of the city. So we have our technical genius, Pedro, trying to solve our technical difficulties. But going back to where we were talking about outside lands, and what I was trying to say basically before the sound got cut off and the console exploded pretty much here in the studio, was that outside of that white hegemony of cultural hegemony of white Anglo-Saxon in San Francisco, the city of San Francisco has always been noted for, like, known as being open-minded and open to other cultures. So my point was that it doesn't matter that so many white people are moving into the city and so many immigrants are getting kicked out, because the city itself, it was always, like, very welcome and very open-minded to other cultures. And even the white gringos living in the city, they were always, like, very, you know, compared to the rest of the United States, that are very narrow-minded in that sense. San Franciscan white people were always more welcoming to foreign culture, foreign music, and music
and
foreign languages.
Right, and the city itself is, as they call it, is like a mosaic. How do you say that, Pedro?
What? A mosaic.
Es una ciudad, you know, that is open to immigrants. Is not something like what is happening. Is it sanctuary?
Yeah.
I was going to say that, but I thought that was not the word. But anyway, you know, for immigrants and politically.
Yeah.
But one thing, I mean, even though I see your point, I still disagree, because the economy is a different thing. And you're never going to see things like you see in New York when the LAMC happens, and they partnered with all these other outdoor festivals that are free, where you see a lot of different Latinas that, you know, are sure going to get a lot of Latinos.
Yeah. Well, but we have Stern Grove, that we just had La Santa Cecilia playing at Stern Grove on Sunday.
It is not the same dimension, Juan. And, you know, and I don't think the outside land, the main thing about this festival is to make money.
Yeah.
They don't really care about spreading cultural diversity.
Oh, no. Of course not. But my point is that they're missing out on a segment of the market that they could be bringing that in, you know, like they could be making money of a more ample variety of offers by bringing different crowds and mixing them in, and they did that for many years, and I would argue that it was successful for many years.
Apparently not. I mean, I would say, again, I see what your point is, but I would disagree respectfully with it, because I also think, you know, that these decisions are not made in a arbitrary way.
Oh, no.
These
no.
are business
it's,
people.
This is totally marketing.
I think they somehow, through credit card information or whatnot, figure out, okay, who is our customer who's coming into the festival? I don't think it's an arbitrary situation. It could also be that everybody was booked and everybody was on tour and
no,
there was no
I,
way to get
I
a band coming
I,
into
I
the outside lands.
Reason.
But, you know, I think the main reason is an economic reason.
Yeah, but all that being said, this is not I'm not trying to say that they're having an agenda or a specific bias against the Latinos, because there was also like a total lack of African American representation in the lineup. You know, there was only like one Latino band, but there was only one hip hop act and one soul band, and there was no reggae bands or anything. And so, like, general wise, you know, there was only like the majority of the music played was mostly like indie rock or whatever that applies to alternative rock nowadays. But all these other genres were like reduced to like, okay, one exponent of each genre, and that's it. While in the past, it was more like balanced, you know what I mean?
I would say that historically, I've seen better things in Austin, Texas, in Chicago, in other cities, have been more successful in you know, in the lineups of their festivals.
Hi.
I think it's embarrassing for
it
a city.
It is truly embarrassing.
It is embarrassing for a city like San Francisco.
Even
right?
Coachella.
So, yeah, even even Coachella, it's more, you know, forward thinking than outside lands right now. And that's embarrassing because San Francisco should be at the avant-garde, as they always are in other all other aspects of culture. You know,
I mean, I'm not super versed, and I'm not like you getting all kinds of information about music, but I'm like the Red Hot Chili Peppers, Paul McCartney. I mean, really?
Those were the highliners, yeah. But like, also, like, you know, like San Francisco is also known as a very gay friendly city, for example.
Right.
And there's a huge, you know, like gay LGBT community here. And right. and that's not represented at all in the Outside Lands Festival. They don't have any band that appeals to them either.
So
it's not just about leaving Latinos outside. They leave all
everybody.
Gays outside. They leave all black people outside. They leave all, you know, like
then
everybody
what's
else.
Deal, then? Who's doing this? Though?
It's
what's going on?
The whole festival. Is like my friend Oz from Afrolicious said, it's not Outside Lands anymore. It's White Side Lands.
Which is honestly a shame. Yeah. I mean, it could be many things, as we have already exposed our views. It could be a political, I don't think it's political, but it's more like economical situation. Who knows? I mean, as a resident of this area, beautiful Bay Area, always gray but beautiful.
So it would be awesome if we could have a festival.
You can see a change. And you know, at some point I'm always like, you know, I live in Oakland and I'm always like, I don't know if I want to go to the city anymore. I mean, you even see less and less acts in the city. There's more things going on in Oakland.
Yeah, but
other
Oakland
places.
Doesn't have a festival yet, you know. And the thing is, like, when
there's the Oakland Music Festival.
when Outside Lands started, I was very optimistic because I was like, finally,
we
have our own music festival in the Bay
there's
Area.
There's the Arts and Soul.
Yeah, no, that's ridiculous.
No, we have which doesn't work.
There's no point in comparing that.
There's the art murmur.
But you know, my point was like when it started in 2008, I was very optimistic on welcoming to Outside Lands because I was like, oh, finally we have we don't have to drive all the way to the desert to see a festival of that dimension. You know, festivals of that dimension. We didn't have it for many years. Then when we finally have it, it was great for the first 2, 3, 4 years.
And usually, you know, the sort of like the feedback from people is usually, you know, very positive when you have something that is not conventional, like, or maybe more unconventional. I was reading, forget where, but something about like Café Tacuba playing Coachella, you know. Actually, I was on Reddit, and they started talking about like this, making fun of like Latino music and all this stuff. And they're like, no, Latino music has really good stuff. You guys have no idea. What you're listening on the radio is just crap, you know. So I started mentioning all this stuff, and then they started talking about Café Tacuba and all that stuff. And they're like, and then some people were like, oh, yeah, I went to Coachella. I don't know who they were, but I was blown away by them. I saw them, and I was like, oh, my God. You know, I mean, they were like, you know, I guess they played the same day that Prince played. And they were like, Café Tacuba and Prince were the best thing that day. It was like, oh my God, I was like totally, I know who they were, and I was totally, you know, blown by them, and I'm a fan now. So, I mean, people are open, you know.
Yeah.
As long as you give them that chance, you know, to give them something
and
new.
What I wanted to get with this is like, what Latino artists or Hispanic artists, whatever, would you have you guys booked for Outside Lands this year?
This year?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. Well,
Who do you think was worth of having in the lineup?
I didn't see Astro, but I was. I'm sorry that I missed them, but I would have liked to see them.
Well, they were going to Lollapalooza.
Yeah. But do you think they deserve to be in Outside Lands? They're too little. I mean,
there's
United
different
States
stages.
Context.
Yeah.
I would totally put Chicano Batman in there because this guy's kick ass.
Yeah.
Like, live, they kick ass.
Chicano Batman.
They're so good. They would totally actually fit in with San Francisco because they're psychedelic and all this stuff. They'd be perfect. But
well, now that when we went to Vive Latino, I have never seen her live, and I was really impressed. And I think she would have been amazing, La Mala Rodriguez.
Could have totally been. You know, my thing was like,
would it be?
I would have Ilia Curiaki and the Valderramas.
Ah, right.
They had a new album like just came out recently, and it's great album. It's playing all over, and it's like, why aren't they touring? Why aren't they like at all the festivals this summer in the United States?
I concur with that.
Right. And like last year, I would have Calle 13 in Outside Lands. Why isn't Calle 13 in Outside Lands?
Why can't we have Pitbull?
No.
Anyway.
Los bookies. We should have got los bookies.
Not los bookies. But I briefly want to talk about this. Like when our potential guest bailed us out. No, you know what? Actually, let's listen to some music. And okay. I'll go into the subject
song.
Next.
I have a song for you. I was just talking about Ilya Curiaghi and the Valderramas. And this is a different artist from Argentina, but he's associated with Ilya Curiaghi, who used to play with them. His name is Nico Cota. He's a DJ and multi-instrumentalist of Argentinian funk. And he has Dante Spinetta from Ilya Curiaghi playing in his album, too. His album is called Escucha el Ritmo. Pedro se nos quedó hipnotizado con esta canción.
Está buena, pero no sé. Hay algo que no termina de cuajar.
Yeah, lo que no te termina de cuajar es que tú estabas en el baño cuando la canción estuvo tocando.
No.
So you missed, three quarters of the song. You missed all the lyrics.
You get very defensive when someone starts criticizing your stuff.
It's not my stuff, no. But you missed all the lyrics of the song. You just came back for the chorus.
No, está muy buena esa rola. Porque yo soy fan de la época de los 80s, porque esa es mucho entera, ¿no?
Yeah.
Como de Rick James y toda esa área, mm-hmm. ¿no? Bien funky, ¿no?
Yeah.
That was funky, I mean. That was black.
Super funky.
That was black enough, I would say.
Black enough.
It was black enough, that's it was funky.
That's what Ilya Kuryaki is. I would say, I mean, it's great, yeah. But it's not their best.
Yeah. Well, but this is not Ilya Kuryaki. This guy is Nico Kota. He's a friend of them, and he used to play with them stuff. He comes from that same clan. It's that same scene, you know.
Anyway, I was gonna say.
What were you gonna say?
So I was trying to get another guest to our podcast today, okay. And I contacted Camilo Landau, who like a lot of people here should know him. He's everywhere.
Yeah. But I remember our listeners are not from here, so you need to tell people.
Right, I know. So Camilo Landau is Camilo Landau.
She dropped the microphone.
I didn't do anything. It fell on
the microphone. Went limp.
Anyway, he's a musician extraordinaire, and he's involved in a lot of that's his dad, Greg.
Yeah, but he also produces.
He does a lot of stuff musically, and he's involved in several different projects. Amongst them, this the Son Jarocho Music Festival, and this is something that it's outside of the mainstream corporate music industry. Somehow, this is a more like an independent thing that kind of brings back a little bit of that heart and soul of San Francisco and its openness to diversity. So Son Jarocho Music Festival is happening this week in San Francisco. And this year, last year it was only at the Brava Theater for 3 days. And so this year it starts on Thursday and it ends on Sunday. And it is not only, it's going to be in different locations now.
Sistema Bomb is going to be playing?
Not this year, not that I can see here. But I would advise that you check their website, SFSJF. Me está doliendo mucho la cabeza con este vino.
Yeah, Eva is a little bit drunk.
I'm not drunk. I have a headache.
She's hangover.
Anyway, so there's a lot of people coming from Mexico, obviously, but they're also Quetzal. They're based in LA, and they're more like Son Jarocho rock.
Grammy winners.
Yeah, so they're going to be playing too. And as I say, there's going to be stuff happening at the Yerba Buena Gardens Festival and also at the Brava Theater. So, I would just say check it out and enjoy the fandangos.
Enjoy the silence.
Yeah.
Enjoy the silence.
Yeah, you guys are not really into San Jarocho.
We are.
But it will get to.
We are. Of course we are. Of course. But we're going to be there, of course. I mean, there's no question about it. Yeah. So anyway, so what's going on? Okay, so today's been a difficult. We're having all the little electronic gremlins. Board went out.
First our guest didn't show up.
Didn't show up, and then the board goes out.
Oh, I forgot to mention. Sorry, and Pedro and I are sharing a microphone. But Camilo's excuse is that he's having a baby. He was like, I cannot come because, I'm at the hospital and I'm having a baby right now. So I was like, congratulations, Camilo. Es papá. Sí, voy a ser papá.
That means tomorrow he's going to replace his Facebook profile picture with a picture of the baby.
Of course.
Like all recent parents do.
More likely. I mean, I didn't do that because I didn't have a Facebook, but I would have.
Before the MySpace.
I mean, I saw people putting photos of their babies going to the first day to school.
Oh, gosh. That wasn't me.
Well, I saw you.
No, I didn't put any picture of
a
baby.
I would do a vine of the birth delivery, these days. We didn't have that back then, too. There was nothing like that.
But, somebody...
That would be nice, actually. Right? But would you take, one second here and then you wait a few minutes and...
As the baby's popping out, just... It'd be cool.
A vine of birth coming out of the vagina?
Exactly.
But the thing with the vine is that then it goes into a loop, so then it goes back in.
Yeah.
Goes out and in and out, in and out, in and out, and then
somebody's got to do it. Somebody's going to do it, or already has done it. Maybe we haven't seen it.
Probably.
But, you know, it's one of those things where, you know.
Well, you have been very. You have been exploring all kinds of, like, all the different, you know, uses of vine. I've seen you exercising a lot, especially with your cats.
I'm exorcising, basically.
Exorcise.
You're right to vine.
Actually, I'm pulling back, to tell the truth. I don't know why, but I just feel like I don't want to entertain people, you know? Because it's a lot of work, you know? People who are actually doing that, like, they're taking, like, a serious job, you know? They have to come up with something funny every day, you know? Or every 2 hours, and I can see them getting exhausted. A lot of people are actually, I've seen a lot of, like, almost like nervous breakdowns. People who are like, you know, they're home, just doing it. Suddenly they're famous and they're like,
what am I going to do on Vine today?
They have the pressure and they're pushing every limit and they have to be funny, damn it, you know, because other people don't like him anymore.
Well, it's definitely, but you're a creative person, and so I think that's why you have that pressure. The other people that don't give a shit, they just like do whatever and they don't care. So, you know, at some point you should just relax and let it go.
Have you got into Vine porn?
Oh, of course.
There's a lot of porn.
Oh, my God. It's
amazing. A lot of homemade porn on Vine.
A lot of homemade. It actually is the best. Actually,
Eva is like, what?
Yeah, I don't even go to the regular porn sites anymore. I mean, I don't because it's that stuff is better. It's like straight from somebody's, like,
yeah.
Like really, literally, within seconds from somebody's bedroom to your house. And you're like, whoa,
you can
real.
Follow. Like,
it's real.
I kind of like that because, you know, it's also like Twitter. It kind of like the fact that it's very limited space. In this case, the amount of time
seven
is only
seconds.
A few seconds. Yeah. It's like you really have to be good
six
at it
seconds.
To like make it
yeah.
worth.
Yeah, but in 6 seconds, when it comes into like 6 seconds in a loop.
In a loop, then it becomes
yeah.
really good though.
Yeah.
It's perfect
if
for
you,
porn.
If you have a couple of decent size boobs or
the
whatever, like a
whatever.
Dildo.
Yeah.
With a dildo in 6 seconds, you can do wonders.
I know. Actually, I've seen, not that I'm an expert, but I've seen a lot of a lot of porn stars who took that into their own. The thing about Vine,
they're making an art form of it.
Yeah, the thing about Vine is that it simplified it so much. And this is going to sound wrong, you know, but it simplified the whole video thing and editing and all that stuff. People didn't want to do because of the YouTube stuff. Like, you have to film it and load it up, blah, 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 edit it and all that stuff. People who didn't care about that stuff can just do it, like, in mm-hmm. seconds. So a lot of people who were not, you know, technically savvy or anything like that. Now, all those porn stars, all they have to do is just put their phone and then they put their fingers inside. And it's perfect. It's like instant. Instant porn.
Instant gratification.
Instant yeah. porn. And it doesn't, apparently, obviously, by why I'm listening here,
it doesn't
really take much to satisfy you.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And I was, I remember reading about Anthony Weiner, the infamous, he's running for New York
mayor.
And someone posted, I think I heard it on Conan actually, okay. that he can actually reach climax in 5 seconds.
Wow.
Like
wow.
when he was doing all this text yeah. thing and whatever, he was also doing some like...
He did a Vine video of his
yeah,
masturbation?
Yeah, like live cam type of thing.
Oh,
and he
like
would
chat
actually
roulette.
Just do it like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. He's gone.
Wow.
He's done. So, you know, by the way, here, like he would be a huge... Huge fan of porn on behind.
Yeah, 6 seconds.
He's probably...
Yeah.
Oh, I'm back. Hello. Hi.
We should have him as a guest.
Anthony
Weiner. Yeah.
It's funny because...
I totally support him because as a citizen, I'm not a voter, but I would totally vote for him. Because
it's funny because the New York Times magazine had a cover like a few weeks back with all the candidates that are
yeah.
running. It's like, you know, it was like 12 of them.
How many of them show their cocks online?
And my son was saying, oh, my God, look at all these people. Like, look at their faces. I can't believe they're trying to do stuff in politics and blah, blah, blah.
Because they're ugly?
Yeah, the photos were a little bit kind of weird. And I said, well, okay, which one do you think will win? Just, you know, by looking at their faces.
Yeah.
He pointed at him. And I thought it was hilarious.
I think a lot of men, like, who have an admitted perverted side, like myself...
Which is most men.
They can all, like, you know, understand him, you know, because like who hasn't sent a picture of his dick online to a stranger? I have done that so many times.
Oh, wow.
You know, like,
yeah.
I don't know. I mean, at the same time,
Have you done that ever?
No, but you've
been a married woman for so many years, you know, like,
yeah, like 40.
I
sort of agree with you. I think he is,
that humanizes him.
No, I mean, he was practicing healthy sex.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the fact that he, you know, put it in a phone, you know, and then someone else abused that, you know, mm-hmm. someone else, you know, he was having an intimate moment with a person,
yeah.
but with a phone.
Through a phone,
exactly. Yeah. And just, that was, you know, that that other person or whoever released that photo, that was the one.
But isn't that the modern sex? Sex through the phone these days? Mm.
No, that's what I'm saying. Like, yeah. even though you're doing it with the phone, it doesn't mean that you can go ahead and take the photo that I just sent you and publish it. You know what I mean?
No, it should be private. But at the same time, you know, like Juan says, you know, you send your pictures of your member to all your relatives.
I've been naked on webcam so many times on so many different chat rooms and different
programs. Yeah, but you're not like expecting people to
vote for me.
No. You're losing my point.
I don't expect people to vote for me, but so I don't care. You know, I don't have a reputation to take care of. That's the thing.
Vote for Juan.
But I mean, you know, but that's the thing. It's like if you're going to politics, it's like you're not running to be a pope.
Yeah.
You're not trying to be some sacred person.
But they
person.
Have to pretend
I
that
mean,
they're clean. They have to pretend that they have a clean past.
That's the part that I don't understand.
And
it's
ridiculous.
Absurd. It's like if you have kids, you have sex.
Yeah.
and you know, and I think that the politics and politicians is not what you did wrong, or actually not what you did, you know, dirty. Is how well you hide it. Yeah, that's the good part. A good politician is the one that didn't let stuff get out.
Yeah.
That's a good politician.
But
that's the only difference.
Everybody has a dark side.
Exactly. It's the only
everybody
difference.
Has a dark
it's
side.
It's the only difference. So the good politician
so
is the
why
one
do
you,
know. Why do you want to pretend that they don't and they're like, you know, like this, like, saint figures when everybody knows that's not the case.
People
you know,
just brutes,
we
you know?
All we are all imperfect. We all have our perversions and our deprivations and our crazy dark sides. You know, some people explore it more than others. Some people repress it more than others. But everybody has their own thing, I think,
the fact that that information is more ready, you know, available for everyone. It's like, when you're going to hire someone, like nowadays, they look at their Facebook profiles.
Yeah.
And it's like, you are only going to post photos when you're having fun. It makes no sense that I'm posting photos of me cooking or working. It's like, so why are you going to, you know, choose
and,
me?
And when I'm having
judge?
Fun, I'm usually naked.
Yeah.
Or drinking or whatever.
But you know
like,
what?
It doesn't matter. What you do with
I
your free time is, you know.
Yeah. My theory is that we're going through a paradigm change here. Like this is a generational paradigm change where we're going through right now. The new generations that are growing up within this paradigm, they're growing up used to that exposure online. It's the older generations who are not used to that, and they reject that because they come from a time when people could have a control of that.
That will change.
I think in the future, like the new generation, for the kids who are going to vote in 10 years, that thing is not going to matter at all because all of them are going to say, everybody has pictures naked online. Because
that will change. Yeah,
middle school kids right now, like if you go like right now, like at high school, middle school, older kids are posting pictures of themselves naked on Tumblr and sending them to their friends. It's the most common thing ever for this generation.
Well,
it's so available everywhere.
How old is the internet? Okay, internet is what? 20,
it's been commercially 20, available since 1995.
About 20 years.
Yeah.
And so, so kids who were like, you know, I hear a lot of kids saying like, I grew up with porn.
Yeah.
I grew up with internet porn. That was normal.
And
with
homemade porn, like the fact that anybody can go up and be naked online and be admired by strangers. That's
instant.
For them, it's totally normal.
It's what happened. That's how you grew
it's
up.
For the older generation that they see that as a scene and that's like a deprivation or whatever, like degenerate behavior. But I think that's why I'm saying we're going through a paradigm change. This is shifting into a different world, and like the new generation are gonna be way more open into that, and they're gonna look back and say like, oh, remember when they didn't let that guy in New York win because he showed his cock online, and now everybody's showing their cock online, you know, like whatever.
But isn't the irony of the whole thing that he is the most popular one? I don't remember. I haven't been.
Because he has a good cock.
Anyway, I think it's time for us to go.
Is it time for closing this episode 37?
Or 37 dicks. You never gave us, you know, your reference about this number 37. This, okay, people. What? Number 37 is a very important number for Juan Data.
Yeah, because first of all, I'm 37 years old. I just turned 37 recently.
Okay.
Second of all, my favorite movie of all time, Clerks, has a whole joke going around the number 37.
Okay.
Which is about this guy having a girlfriend who sucked 37 dicks before dating him. So the guy is like, oh, how many dicks have you sucked? And the girl is like, 36. 36, counting me? Including me? And the girl is like, oh, okay, 37. So the guy
37.
Is like, 37 dicks! You know, so that's the whole joke, you know, like, and the customer walks by and is like, in a row? So I love Kevin Smith, and he's the main reason why I do a podcast, because he's the one who introduced me to the podcast format back
in 2000.
He introduced me to like sucking multiple dicks in a row. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Anyway, that closes the circle with which we started this podcast.
Exactly.
Y con eso nos vamos.
No. First, I have to introduce the last song. This is a song by Empresarios from DC. DC band, Washington DC. The song is called Rompan Fila, and it's a remix by G Flux. I don't know if you guys know G Flux. He's Gustavo Naranjo. He's a producer of New Cumbia from. We have a bunch of people walking in. G Flux is a producer of New Cumbia, who also is from DC. I mean, he's Mexican, but he lives in DC. He did that famous song with Afrodita, the Ciclón del Caribe, that I'm sure you know and I'm sure you played. It was a classic of the New Cumbia movement. This time he's remixing Empresarios in this song called Rompan Fila. And this song is both on Empresarios' album and on G-Flux album that just came out last couple of weeks. So Rompan Fila, and that's our last song of the day.
Yeah.